Good morning. It may be helpful for you to keep Psalm 40 open because I'll be referring to it throughout. But first, I will just pray. Heavenly Father, open our ears and our hearts to hear your word, and let these words be your words, not mine. In your name and for your glory, amen. Do you trust God? If so, why? How? Last week, Dale described to us about trusting God, whatever the situation, as he talked to us about Psalm 25. The Psalms in the first book of Psalms, Numbers 1 to 41, like Psalm 40 of our reading today, are mainly written by David, and often go through the themes of being blessed by God, how mankind is fallen, and then redemption. We see this through descriptions of anguish, sorrow, and despair, but also joy, as the psalmist guides us through to trust in God through suffering as well as in our daily life. And this is the same in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is a very rich and real psalm with different aspects and points that we could really go deeply and focus on. Today, however, I'll go through more of an overview and focus on trust as the central theme as we follow on from last week and answer these two questions in applying what David is saying in the psalm. Why can we trust God? And how can we trust God? So firstly, why can we trust God? To answer this question, I'll start by looking at the second half of the psalm first, which is also repeated at the beginning of Psalm 70. David is showing us in verse 12 that he's overwhelmed by sin. My sins have overtaken me. And in verses 14 and 15, he's overwhelmed by the sins of others. In verse 13, David is asking God to help him and quickly and to save him. And this goes further in verses 16 and 17, where we see that David trusts God for his redemption and his salvation. This is important. Without God, we do not have hope. We cannot be saved or have eternal life. Life is just hard and ends. What a shame. And like David, we can often be overwhelmed by our own sin and the sins of others who are out to harm us in one way or another. This seems to happen to me daily. I'm either sorry for something I have done or feel hurt or insecure by something someone else has done to me, don't you? But let's remember, we live here on earth, not yet in heaven. That's why we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because in heaven, where our hope is, God's will is done perfectly. It's not avoided or messed up by us like it is here on earth. I often don't do God's will, and big news, neither do you. Much is broken here on earth. Climate, world economies, people's bodies, people's minds. R.T. Kendall said, "Following Jesus means walking a narrow road, filled with difficulty. But we persevere because of the promise of heaven." Yes, people are imperfect and sinful. So often, neither I nor those who hurt me can or will make it better, and often not quickly. God, however, is always there and will always forgive when we repent and comfort when we feel wronged. Even more importantly, God is our help and our deliverer, as it says in verse 17, which is implied throughout this psalm and why David cries to God for help. We can therefore trust God for our redemption and salvation and have hope for eternal life in heaven. Praise God. Also, God is faithful. God will continue to love us absolutely and keep his promises even if we're unlovable and we sin and break our promises like David did. David knew this, hence his trust in God. And we see in verses 2 and 3 the joy David has in trusting God for his salvation. We don't need to worry whether God can or will do it. God can and will deliver us if we trust him to do so. Verse 29 of our gospel reading is very clear. It says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Isn't that awesome? David trusted God through his experiences, his heart, and his relationship with God, knowing God would save him. Now, others can also decide to trust God in different ways too. One example I'd like to share is that of Lee Strobel, the author of the book The Case for Christ, which I highly recommend. He came to faith trying to disprove the resurrection and stop his wife from believing. As an investigative journalist, after 2 years of trying to disprove Christianity, Lee came to a different conclusion. He said, "I became personally convinced that based on the historical evidence of the resurrection, that it is actually true." He then trusted in God and gave his life to Christ. So, of course, despite the historical evidence of the resurrection and more tangible reasons to trust God, as we see from the psalm, we can trust God because God created us. We can trust God because God knows us and is faithful. We can trust God because God is love and will never respond to us other than in love, even if we're on a journey to disprove Christ, like Lee Strobel. We can trust God because despite ourselves and through Jesus, we are saved and can trust God for our redemption and salvation and hope in life, hope in eternal life. Hallelujah. I could stop there actually, but no, let's continue. So how can we trust God? We know why, how. Well, the first part of the psalm, I think, shows us 3 ways how we can trust God. Firstly, prayer. Verses 1 to 5 show how David got through this time of despair through trusting in God. He cried out to God. He feared God and only focused on God, not other idols. David is describing here how he prayed and trusted in God, waiting patiently for God to respond. Now note here how David's waiting is not passive. He didn't just sit back. He's praying. Now we live in a society of impatience. We want everything immediately and without effort. And we can often have that. We can get anything hand-delivered like little emperors and very quickly, no matter all the packaging and CO2 being used to deliver it all. And if it's not fast enough or we're not satisfied, we can try somewhere else. But we can find it difficult then when we don't get what we want immediately or when something doesn't go as we expect. And that's when we need to wait patiently for God. But it's instead often when our problems start because we're impatient or want to find some other way of making sure we get our way. Now contrast this with Jesus. Jesus was not impatient. We don't see him running around. We don't see in the Bible it stating anywhere that Jesus ran or Jesus hurried. Remember Lazarus? Jesus took his time to get there. And when he did, it was too late because Lazarus had died. Or was it too late? It was part of an even bigger miracle as he raised Lazarus from the dead that day. God is patient with us, and God's timing can lead us to things we didn't even imagine, like for Lazarus. Also, God can use our pain and suffering while we wait to help us in our spiritual growth. Rick Warren, the US pastor, said, "In God's garden of grace, even broken trees can bear fruit." Isn't that wonderful? God can use us, broken trees, to bear fruit. But in order to do so, we must communicate with God. We must listen to God patiently. And what does that mean? We must pray. So like David, when we take matters into our own hands or take a shortcut, it can often go wrong. But instead, also like David here in the psalm, we must trust in God's perfect timing. Romans 12, verse 12 states, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And so this is how we can trust God, patiently praying, communicating with God, and waiting for God's plan for us. Now, this may not be easy, and most of the time it isn't, but it will guide us out of the pit of despair and put a song of praise in our mouths too of the wonderful deeds God has done for us. Prayer is our encounter with the living God and helps us to develop our own personal relationship with God. And one example of this that also speaks to me is also in the life of Lee Strobel. His neighbor Linda prayed for Lee's wife, Leslie, and Linda brought her to church. And after a time, Leslie became a Christian, which was very hard for Lee because he was trying to disprove Christianity and he was very anti-Christian. And he said that as an atheist, he had concluded the best way to live his life was to bring maximum pleasure into his life. And so he lived a very immoral, drunken, profane, narcissistic, self-destructive kind of life. He said he harbored a lot of anger and rage, but didn't know why. He later figured out it was because he was always after maximum pleasure, but nothing lived up to the hype. He always felt let down. Now, through all this hardship, through all Leslie had to endure, she kept praying for him and for herself as she was learning and discovering her new faith. And nearly 2 years later, his whole life, Lee's life, turned around. And he turned to Jesus and no longer felt let down. Now, for me, Linda, their neighbor, and Lee's wife, Leslie, are great examples in modern times of trusting God and waiting patiently through prayer. The second way we can trust God is through our obedience. We see this in verses 6-8. David has praised God in the first few verses for helping him out of despair. And then he's questioning how to respond to this. What do I do now? Do I sacrifice another sheep? It just seems too little for this life-saving act that God has done for him. What can fill that difference, that gap? And one commentator states that David shows it can only be self-sacrificial obedience, the giving of one's all, that will even begin to fill that, such a gap, like Jesus Christ. And this section is also quoted by the writer of Hebrews in verses 8-10, where the writer applies these words to Jesus Christ in the psalm, who was obedient to the cross as Christ desired to do God's will, where it says, "Behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do your will, Oh my God, your law is in within my heart. So like Christ, who was obedient to God, we are reminded here to also be obedient to God. And our obedience is to be more than just rituals or sacrifices. It is to be our whole selves. God doesn't need our sacrifice or rituals. Jesus has already paid the price for us. God wants us to spend time with him, to know him, to do God's will. Remember Samuel told us, he told Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. So in doing God's will, we are trusting in God's plans, not our own. And one commentary said, God's new and living way for us to please him is not by keeping laws or even abstaining from sin. It's by coming to God in faith to be forgiven and then following God in loving obedience. This is what David's speaking about here. Now, obedience can be hard. Oh, yeah. And painful. Yep. But it is a true mark of trusting in God. Now, I'm very far away from the obedience of Jesus Christ or any Christian martyr for that matter. But in my daily life, I have the opportunity each day to choose obedience to God's will and therefore to choose to trust God. It's not easy though, with all the misinformation and choices around. We don't always know whether it is God worth trusting or we're trusting something else. So if we're ever unsure, we can test it with the Bible. Perhaps use that famous phrase, "What would Jesus do?" This may help us to know God more and the path of obedience as we trust God. Finally, the last way we can trust God is through our witness and testimony. We see this throughout the psalm as David is praising God for the help God has given David and for who God is. We see it especially in verses 5, verses 9 to 10 and 16. And also, David showed the joy of salvation in verses 2 to 3, singing a new song, praising God, and encouraging us to do the same. If we trust God with our lives and direction, we should be excited and telling everyone about it. Think about it. We generally have no problem telling people about a good restaurant or a good deal. Now, God's faithfulness and love is so much more. Let's tell everyone about it. A friend shared with me a long time ago about one of her co-workers with whom she was afraid to share her faith. One night, she had a dream of that co-worker going to hell and shouting to her, "Why didn't you tell me about Jesus and that I could be saved?" This shook my friend. Now, she was a very timid and quiet person. She still is. And it really shook her, though, to share her faith with her co-worker. And she felt called to share about a situation where she trusted in God, and although quite different to what the world would have done, she acted differently in the result of that obedience. It gave the co-worker confidence to deal with a similar situation in her own life that she hadn't told my friend about. And the co-worker then asked my friend many questions about her faith. Now, I don't know if the co-worker ever came to Christ, but since then, my friend is definitely more open about her faith and sharing it with people. Her witness sowed a seed, and she trusted in God to do so. She did not hide her righteousness in her heart. She spoke of God's faithfulness and saving help, like David in verse 10. Therefore, let us not let impatience, suffering, doubt, or fear prevent God's plans for us. Instead, let us spend time with God, waiting patiently in prayer. Let us obey God's will and share the good news around us of the God whom we can trust with everything. Amen.